Welcome to the Closer's Corner Podcast, where we here at OutFast discuss all things real estate with a focus on tactics, strategies, sales, and what it takes to be a deal maker. All right, welcome to the latest episode of the Closer's Corner Podcast. I am your host, Greg Simpson, and today I've got Bryce Wade with me today. And so for you guys who have been following along this podcast here, Bryce is going to tell you some cool stories about what it takes for him to be a deal maker and to get deals to the closing table, and let you guys know what it takes to be a real estate agent, what it takes to be successful, what it takes to get those deals to the closing table so that you guys as buyers and sellers understand the value, the true value of what a real estate agent brings to the table and why they deserve every penny of that 3% commission. Stop asking them for commission cuts. They deserve every bit of that. And it doesn't matter to me as a real estate broker because, like, I see what you guys go through every single day. I hear it on our accountability calls and stuff like that. So guys, pay very close attention today. I'm really excited to have Bryce on. Bryce, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. This brokerage since I came down from Virginia has been an awesome place to hang my license, and I've been loving it ever since.
Very cool. What made you want to get your license in the first place? I know you were a flipper up in Virginia first, right?
Flipper, I think flipper entails that I had a little bit of success. It was a lot of pull my hair out, watch too much HGTV, okay. All of those. But coming down here, Jeremy had actually sold me some property prior before I moved down here, and he just came off really professional. And then you guys had the associates with the TB RIA, and I know I wanted to be in the world of investors. So I was like, hey, what better place to be an agent at than kind of the center of the Tampa Bay investing?
For sure. You got your license, you hung with us. Besides obviously the investment stuff, what has been, in your experience, some of the better things that we offer here? And I get to toot my own horn a little bit. So just talk about some of the things that we offer our agents as well.
Yeah, definitely. So, you really let the agents the freedom that they want. If they want support, you give it. If they kind of want to be free reign, you give that as well. You really mold to what the agent wants to do. So I kind of told you, hey, I want to work with investors, this and that. You gave me the tools and the training and really the resources and the back house support. If I have a question, I can ask Jeremy. If I have a question flipping or a rehab, I can ask you. Mm-hmm. It's really there. It's not just like, hey, you're going to be a retail agent. That's all you do. You're only serving this person XYZ.
Yeah, that's been a huge culture point for us. And, when I interview agents, they're like, so what kind of quotas do you guys have? I'm like, what's a quota? Why would you have a quota? You're an independent contractor. Like, do your thing. Like, be you. I don't put you guys in a box. That's never been our model from day one. A lot of our agents do focus on retail only, and some of them focus only on investing. Some of them have their license just to flip, make sure that they're buying good deals off the MLS, or not off the MLS, but having the accurate comps, because we're going to talk about Zillow in a few minutes and how bad the Zestimate is and how bad Zillow is. It is just something that we've always focused on, is letting agents be themselves. I see too many of the big boxes, like it's the corporate bullshit, if you will, that too many CYAs. How long are our broker structure docs? Like 4 pages, 5 pages? It's don't be an asshole.
You got to be in the desk 9 to 5.
None of that stuff. Yeah, I get asked that too. Do you guys have desk hours and stuff? I'm like, why? Well, it's not 1985 anymore.
If you're getting it done at the house, why does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. We have a badass office if you guys want to come use it.
It is very badass, yeah.
But it does not require to ever be here. We have a lot of agents that do come in even after hours because they need to get away from the wife and or husband and the kids at home. Just to have some quiet time. But, yeah. So let's talk about a couple of deals that you have done in the past couple of months, if you will, maybe the last 6 months, that have turned into those – crazy deals. And tell me the story of one that's just kind of like been a pain in the butt or was like really challenging to get to the closing table.
Okay. Yeah. I can dive into a couple that maybe show the versatility of being a good agent that understands the investment world as well. This one, I think it was within 6 months. It might have been a little bit longer ago, but it was a client of mine. We'd already closed twice, and the way I like to work is, just really prep a client well and just really give them the understanding and what to expect. That way it's a little bit more work up front, but it makes the next deals easier and easier.
For sure.
And I think the third deal I did with him, we ended up negotiating a trailer with land, and you know, I ended up negotiating him a 30-year fixed. It was like a 5% interest rate, no balloon, and the seller was 80, I think. So he wasn't going to see the end of that 30-year,
no,
you know,
doubt, yeah.
Unless he, you know, lives 110.
No balloon payment either?
No balloon payment. Wow. But the point is, okay, though, it's just that, you know, people ask, well, why do agents get the 3% or whatever? It's because you're not going to call an agent on Zillow or whatever and get that deal. They're going to say, no, it's on MLS, I don't want it. Or not going to be able to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that was a good deal. I like to think about the good ones. There was a hard one I had, a client. I'm not going to mention names, but you know, she knows it was a difficult deal. And we probably went under contract like 4 or 5 times. And
wow,
man, it was, everything was would pop up that you couldn't know prior. Like, hey, the inspections would come bad, but it wasn't something we could see in the outside. It was like something internally in the roof or the mechanics or whatever. Mm-hmm. And just the agents weren't being helpful. And at the end of the day, it was like the 4/5 deal, and we had the close, and then something happened with insurance where her rates went up, and I was like, you know what? I convinced the other agents, like, let's just help her out. Let's just see what we can do. We ended up closing. Didn't make too much on that one, but it kind of came full circle. I ended up helping her mom later down the road, and that ended up being like a really smooth transaction, and it builds the trust, you know, mm-hmm, like, I'm here for you.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about those 4 or 5 that she had to go under contract. You, obviously, there are difficulties. Let's talk about some of the difficulties that an agent will go through on that, because that's so common, guys. If you aren't a real estate agent and you're watching this, you maybe are a buyer or a seller, you guys have to understand, like, as a buyer's agent, you guys get put through the ringer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, going through 4 or 5 deals where you or transactions before you actually close a transaction, I should say, like, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of houses being shown. That's a lot of inspections, 4 potentially 5 appraisals, maybe, if it gets to that point, right? Let's talk about that. Like, how nerve-wracking is that for you as an agent? Because you're not getting paid until it closes.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough, you know, because, you know, deal one, you're under contract, inspection's done. Oh, yeah, you see the paycheck, you're excited, and it's killed. Okay, you know, get back on the horse. You got to fight through it. Deal two, it's done. Oh, man, you know, it just, you start looking at the mileage and the time away, and this is a Newport Richey, so you're just an hour driving back. And that seems funny. One time, I popped my tire driving back, so that was even, like, after the third time we closed, oh, like, man, I was like, fuck this. I was just mad. But, yeah, you know, you fight through it, and then you have the issues with, you know, the lenders and title, and mm-hmm, for some reason it always comes back to you. You know, let them know, like, hey, I'm involved in the transaction piece. There are other players, but it's just, it's really tough, and it takes a lot of patience, and you really have to. I mean, I think there's a reason why the turnover rate, the churn at a real estate agent is so high.
Sure.
Because they see, like, the fancy checks, and, oh, this is easy. Everyone's like, I can write a contract. Well, anyone can read that contract, whatever. It's the nuances of it.
Do you understand it?
Yeah. It's like, do you know what this means if they fail a 4-point? It's because they can't get insurance, and then, you know, yada, yada, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a thing that I have seen and heard from a lot of you guys on the buy side, is that some of the agents who have gotten these listings literally don't understand why buyer's not, or my seller's not going to fix this. It's like, well, they have to, or they're never going to get this deal done. They're never going to get to go through it. And then the seller wonders why, the actual owner, I should say, the owner doesn't understand why their house isn't moving forward, because the agent's not communicating to that seller, hey, if you don't fix the roof or the electrical, no one other than an investor who's willing to put that money into it is going to close that deal. Period.
Exactly. And that issue falls back as to, I mean, it's been multiple deals where I had to explain to the selling agent, the listing agent, who should also be a professional peer, like, hey, exactly, you know, without the roof, no insurance, no
deal.
Mortgage buyer, I'll just get a cash buyer. I'm like, and you're going to get an under.
You're going to talk to me with your, those, and then we get the, as the investor, oh, you're just going to give me a lowball offer. Well, no
shit.
I got to make money, asshole. But, like, it's just the facts of life, guys, that, like, your agent should be setting those expectations with you up front.
Yes.
Especially as a listing agent, this is how the process goes. And then once X happens, then Y has to happen, and so on and so forth. It's not just this game that you're playing, right? We're not just here to make 3% and make $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, depending on the deal and the price tag. Like, there's a whole bunch of shit that goes along the way that they earn that 3%. And if you hire a cut rate range agent that really doesn't understand that process, maybe he's never done it, you're in trouble.
I agree 100%.
So how many bad appraisals have you had lately? or low, I should say bad appraisals. That's a bad, low
I had some bad appraisals. I was like, I don't even know how you came to this number. But I'd say I probably run into issues about one out of four.
Oh, wow, that much now.
Maybe. But, you know, and I think of those, about half of those, I get it renegotiated. It should be solved.
Okay.
One was, it was a new build. The issue was, it was the only new build that was complete. And we ended up talking the seller off by like 10 grand, and now I think those sellers have made probably, you know, they bought a new build about, 8 months ago. So I'm sure you can take a wild guess of what that's gone up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I had a duplex when I refinanced. He was pulling comps for like 4 miles away.
What?
Yeah, and it's like, and I wrote a letter. I was like, it's Tampa. You understand that it's walking distance could change. And it was an e-board. He was pulling in from like East Orient Park. And I'm like,
come on.
Well, if you're going to pull from there, do you want to pull from Seminole Heights too?
Yeah, right?
It goes both ways. Like, no. And then they tell me, I've been in for 30 years. I'm like, well, good for you. You still suck. You've done 30 years of bad appraisals.
Yeah, pretty much.
Exactly.
All right, so I reached out to you guys in the group chat about Zillow.
Yes.
I made a little funny meme that said, you know, Zillow's pulled out of buying houses right now. And there's multiple reasons, and we're going to talk about that. And Bryce was the first one that you jumped in. You're like, I want to talk about it. I was like, all right, let's talk about it.
I was excited.
Yeah, because Zillow is basically a huge disaster, and they have been for a very long time.
Yes.
And that's for a lot of different reasons. We all know, and if you don't know this, you're going to find this out now, that the Zestimate is bull. It's not accurate. It's not real. It's funny how if you look at a Zestimate today, and say it's $150,000, and the next day you list it on the market for $250,000 because it's been updated and it's pretty and it meets the area, all of a sudden that next day, guess what the Zestimate is?
Oh, it's changed.
$249,000. Oh, so Zestimate's correct. Oh, what a miracle. All of a sudden the Zestimate is correct. What about yesterday when you were $100,000 off? And so let's talk about the Zestimate first, because everyone knows this or should know this by now, that the Zestimate is wrong. What percentage do you think that the Zestimate is wrong?
I can't even calculate that. I mean, I think every time I look at it, I don't even look at it anymore, honestly. And I tell people, when people talk to me and say, hey, I looked at the Zestimate, I just kind of stop it right there. And like, hey, I understand and I appreciate you doing your due diligence and prepping for this conversation, but it's a little bit deeper. And then it's tough because it gives the agents the job of telling this person that, hey, you know, this big company you heard of that, you know, is trustworthy, they're wrong. And it's hard to kind
of
break into the conversation that way. But it's true, you know, they pull comps from a wide range. They don't take into effect the condition of the house. Tampa That's itself is one. Very weird. I mean, you got houses that the price ranges fluctuate all over the place, and they'll be right next to each other.
Yeah.
It's just Tampa's a weird city.
It is. Like, you got to figure, like, it's not just Tampa. Tampa Bay, you got water everywhere, exactly, right? And then you got houses that are on the water, houses aren't on the water. You got houses in the hood on the water, for crying out loud. Like, you got Sulphur Springs parts that
waterfront,
are
waterfront, baby.
Waterfront, baby, on the river, and it's just like, that house is a piece of crap, but like Zestimate pulls in, then again pulls in from Seminole Heights. Houses that are on the river, completely different market. Yep. So that's one reason why Zillow is getting their ass kicked, because I think that they're relying on their algorithms too much. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. I mean,
let's talk about why Zillow's pulling out now.
Yeah, I mean, they built, I mean, you know, information is key to this whole thing, right? You know, if you don't know your comps, you don't know your ARVs, you're screwed. And they built this whole monster. I think they started 2018, something like that. They built it around this algorithm that the data was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They killed it 2019. Well, killed it. I mean, they weren't dying.
They were getting killed, though. They were losing money month over month, quarter over quarter on their buying houses business.
Yeah. Well, it's insane. I mean, I think I put it right here. This was their 10Q. For the last 6 months, they lost $117 million.
Holy shit.
Just from selling homes. And it's funny, too, because everyone's talking about, well, they pulled out, you know, is the housing market going to crash? I think, no, it's not. It might, like, not be as hot where you have to submit, you know, a 10K over asking no inspection. I think we're going to get our inspection periods back, our contingencies.
Sure.
But in terms of, you know, prices tanking because of Zillow, I think that's a little bit ludicrous.
I agree.
I don't know if it's a contrarian view, but
yeah, and their excuse was, we can't sell the house. We can't get the deals done fast. We can't find any workers. Horseshit.
Yeah, they're out
there.
They're out there.
Yeah. I think that is the biggest scam that they're talking about right now, is that that's just their, that's the damage control that they're trying to play right now, is trying to blame it on the supply chain, blame it on COVID, all that bullshit. Yeah. No, because there are successful flippers out there, like my mentor, like me, like others in this brokerage who are still killing it on their flips. They just don't know how to analyze deals properly. And the thing is, like, for those that you don't, that don't maybe understand, the Zillow buyers, their program is literally just a real estate agent, because they're a brokerage now that's analyzing the deals, and they're getting bonused on buying the deals.
Yeah.
They're not, they don't give a shit whether the company itself makes money on the back end, because they're getting the bonus for however many deals they were buying. So they were buying bad deals over, like, way overpaying for them.
Different incentives.
Yes, different incentives on the front end. And so they bought, obviously, lots and lots of bad deals to lose $117 million.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, like, I think there's, like, and everyone gets it. I mean, flipping houses is fun. It's sexy. It's cool.
Yeah,
people,
for sure.
People see Greg, and it's like, oh, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, but their business was, you know, we do the Zillow. We do the Zillow agents. And that was their moneymaker.
Yeah, they should have stuck with that.
Yeah. Like, you make money there, flipping houses. I mean, they were losing money. Well, it's even funnier, too. I won't dive too deep into the numbers here. But they were averaging around 360 house if they sold. In the last 6 months, Tampa Bay saw a almost 2% increase. I'm sorry, for this year, about 20% increase.
Mm-hmm.
They were losing money every deal. If you can't make money on a deal when your market's got 20%, what the hell's going to happen when it's not increasing 20%? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's kind of, you know, stagnating out a little bit. What are you going to do?
I do not see this being a market indicator. I think this is just a bad algorithm, a bad business model.
Yes.
And so that's the thing, is like, when you get these big conglomerates, these big corporations, they have a phenomenal core competency, which is getting agents leads.
Yeah.
Because they've done a great job marketing themselves. They're expensive for the agents to buy, but the leads are good because people go to Zillow to literally look at the pretty houses.
Yeah.
And you want to talk to an agent about buying that house, Zillow is great about funneling the leads directly to the agents from those buyers. They needed another revenue stream. They thought they could rely on their algorithm, and then they probably hired consultants and stuff. And I'm not trying to poke the bear too much here with Zillow, because Zillow, it has some really cool features that it does for the consumers.
Yeah, it does.
And they've helped a lot of consumers get top dollar for their house, but their shareholders are getting killed because of this stuff right here.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the owners aren't happy.
No, absolutely not.
Well, the homeowners are, but, you know.
Yeah, the homeowners are getting their money. But, again, it's disrupting the market for the rest of people. So, like, it ends up coming back full circle, where I'm not saying this is going to cause a correction or a crash or anything, but, like, this does have ramifications by overpaying for properties.
Oh, it does. Because if Zillow paid whatever, XYZ, that's now the price. You know, it just raises the comps, and that's where I think everyone was talking about their market manipulation of Zillow.
Yeah, and I understand that. I understand that to a point.
Yeah.
But, like, I wish Zillow would just stick to what it knows.
Yes. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane, baby. Yeah. Like, honestly, like, for me, I am not the expert in multifamily buying a 50-unit building.
Yeah.
If you guys have questions about that, don't ask me. Like, legit, I'm not that guy. You want to learn about wholesaling, fix and flip, running a brokerage, recruiting agents, empowering agents, and teaching and stuff like that, I'll talk to you all day long. But you ask me multifamily, I'm going to tell you I don't know. I'm going to tell you to go talk to Brian Chavis or Rod Khalif, period. Now, are they going to consult with us when we go to buy multifamily? You're damn right they are. But, like, again, I know my core competency, right? If you want to talk about property management, while I own a property management company, I don't know jack poo about property management. I'm going to go to ask Jeremy or refer you to Jeremy, right? When you come to, you know, the fund, go talk to Matt, the mortgage company, go talk to Matt. There are certain people that have that core competency, and then also get a figure trying to do it on a national level. Holy moly.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, you flip, you understand how crazy that is. Like, just that ambition was just a little bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a thing too, and this might be getting a little bit more to the niche of, like, from the agent's point of view.
Yeah.
So, when you know, I was working with a lot of buyers when the housing market was just insane. And good luck trying to get an offer submitted where you had a contingency to sell your house.
Sure.
So, but what was the easy solution for that? Well, I'll just sell my house to an iBuyer. I'll sell it to, you know, I even thought about it as an agent. Like, hey, you might lose some money, you might not get top dollar, but it's all about getting you to the next house. And right now, that is the only buyer that can do that. So people would sell their house, and, you know, they would lease it back for a little bit because Zillow was easy to work with in Redfin or whatever. And then, you know, they could move on to the new home. But now, with the market seeming to cool off a little bit, I think people will be able to do that again. Like, hey, I want to buy your house. I'll pay top dollar, but I need the contingency to sell my home.
Sure.
That might take a big chunk out of that iBuyer, that business, that customer that they're getting.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I've heard from you guys is trying to buy houses with Zillow that Zillow owns.
Yes.
Has been an absolute disaster.
Don't do it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that was not even true. That's one for sure. But I remember like someone said that Zillow, because they are a brokerage, they were listing somebody's house because the buy didn't work out. And imagine, like, literally they could not get a hold of the listing agent because it's all via email.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's like a 48-hour minimum workday response.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's just even to get a question of, like, hey, is this, you know, a very simple, like, hey, can I have access or whatever? Because, mm-hmm. you know, their showing time might be off. And they do, like, very light flips. I've gone to multiple, like, the OfferPad homes, the open door homes, and just the handymanship is not there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... there's just no oversight. It's like they don't have the system in check where that final walkthrough happens to say, hey, is this, you know, ready to list?
For sure. I think that one thing that people, and this is why I want to talk about this too, is Zillow and iBuyers and whatnot too, because OfferPad is also a brokerage and Open Door is also a brokerage, I believe too. You've got Redfin and all these big conglomerates. They're trying to over automate things in a people business.
Yes.
They're trying to take the human element out of this. And I'm sorry, I will go down on this, or I'll fall on this sword forever. I will go down fighting on this premise that you will never, ever, ever remove the human element from buying a house.
I agree 100%.
Ever. They're trying too hard to do that. And that's the problem, because we live in a microwave society. If you're waiting 48 hours because they're still relying on a home or on a person to reply back because that agent has 50 listings, there's no way that you can do this business with a freaking machine.
There's no attention to detail.
No.
Yeah.
And so what kind of service are you going to get as a seller if you have to wait 48 hours? It's only going to get worse if this keeps going, right?
Yeah.
It'll be a week before you get an answer. Well, yeah. That means that they're moving on to somebody else's house.
And that only hurts you. That yes. only hurts the seller.
Like 100%. So like that's the thing is like I feel like so many of these companies, because of automations and a technology, while the technology may be good and getting better, you will never ever take the human element out of it. And so as buying a house, it's the biggest financial transaction of most people's lives. You're not going to want to rely on a freaking algorithm to do that for you. You need the warm and fuzzies sometimes. You need the hand-holding as a buyer. Even as a seller, you need hand-holding because maybe, you know, you've inherited this house from somebody. Zillow didn't give a shit if mom owned that house for 50 years. They don't give a shit. But I know you would.
Oh, of course.
But I know a real agent that understands empathy will help with that situation. So while Zillow does have good things about them, and same with OfferPad, the others, you guys have to understand that agents are not going away. So fight for your 3%. You guys have to understand as buyers and sellers that these guys and women, they earn that money because of the stuff that they are going through for that. So, you know, I just want to that's why the podcast here exists, because it is so frustrating to hear these stories from you and from other agents here at the brokerage and other agents that I'm friends with. Because I know a lot of agents, obviously, that aren't without Fast, and that's totally cool, obviously. You'll be here sooner than later. But like the idea here is that find something else to cut out. Don't cut out the commissions, because you guys work super hard for that stuff.
Well, you said it. I mean, you're selling the biggest asset of your life. Why would you go cheap on the marketing? Like that's crazy. Like it's just like,
Makes no sense.
They always talk about, well, they're paying this. It's not about what you're paying. You know, if the other agent could do it for four, could do it for three. Well, we don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might just be, you know, taking some photos with their cell phone, slapping 10 photos on Zillow and MLS and just calling it a day.
Yeah.
And just saying, hey, submit my offers, I might get back to you. A good agent will, I mean, whenever I take a listing, I will call the comps and ask them and say, hey, did you get an appraiser? What did it appraise for? Can I get my hands on that? What issues? I call the agents nearby and say, hey, you know, what were you experiencing? You know, you got to figure out the timing of the photos, go through the photos, determine if you need an aerial shot, because maybe it's in the good location. Yeah, let's get the drone up there. Let's take a photo. You know, do an open house and coordinate that open house and then follow up.
Yep.
You know, Zillow, OfferPad, they're not going to do that for you. They're going to say, hey, you want to pay 4%? You know, we're doing it for 3%. And then all of a sudden, you're making 20 grand less. That's why they could care less that they're paying, that you're paying that low
100%.
Amount. What's the Boar's Head saying? Compromise elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would go great with agents, because, you know, a good agent will get the job done. And I think there are a lot of agents out there that kind of give the rest of us a bad rap, because You know, it's one of those, you got to pick the right agent. You know, you got to talk to them. You know, take them out to coffee. You know, they'll take you out to coffee and they'll chat and feel comfortable with them. That's the thing. It's all about trust.
Yep.
And, you know, you can trust a person. You can't really trust a Zillow or a platform because all it is in the end of the day is some minimum wage worker on the back end.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that, you know, it's funny, like, you would think in today's society or today's world of agency, like, a friend of mine, Matt works for a competing brokerage, and he has a WTF Wednesday, on his Instagram that he posts of people or agents who are still posting pictures with their cell phones.
And it's slanted.
And they're slanted, or they have, like, their finger over the camera.
Or the mirror.
The mirror. And it's just like, dude, it's 2021. We're going into 2022. It's $200 for professional photos.
Yes. The best money ever spent.
Oh, my gosh. It is literally a requirement. It's, like, one of the only free requirements that I require of my agents here is to every listing that you guys have is required to have professional photos. It is literally $150 to $200.
I think you're insane if you don't even consider that. It's just like, drop your license right now. Don't renew it if you take cell phone photos.
Seriously. And so if you're looking to sell your house and you're as part of the listing presentation, the agent does not offer or to have a saying in there that they're going to take professional photos, do not hire them.
Run.
We can talk about that all day long about what a listing presentation should actually look like. Maybe we could do a podcast about that later for the sellers to help vet them or help vet agents.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's a whole other rabbit hole that we could go down. But professional photos, come on. Like, that's just 101. So that being said, Bryce, thanks for coming on, taking your time today, being on the Closer's Corner podcast. If you guys have any questions for Bryce, you can reach him on all of his social media. You can reach him at Bryce Wade at Outfast Realty.
Bryce Wade at Outfast Realty is my email. I have Instagram, BryceWade77. You know, I have a cell phone too. I think my card is. I think you have the number on the stuff side.
Yep, yeah, all the stuff will be in the show notes for you guys.
Yeah.
Again, if you guys found value out of today's podcast, make sure you give us a subscribe, like us all over the place, give us a rating and review. It does really help us with getting into the algorithms of Spotify and Apple and all the other different places this is syndicated to. It really does help us grow and get the message out there for us. If you guys found information, please take just a couple of 30 seconds, 60 seconds to give us those ratings and reviews, and we'll see you guys on the next episode of the Closer's Corner podcast.